Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Goodman. I'll be talking to you about PowerShell for the next 45 minutes. So, quick agenda. First things we're going to do, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, but then I like to get to know my audience. So I may ask you to raise your hands and such, if that's okay. And then here's what I'm going to do. I'll show you my environment. Maybe a little different from what you're using. I use some different tools and rather than the basic PowerShell editor. I'll show you that whole environment and what I use to do there. It may be a review for some of you. We'll find out when I ask about yourselves. But I'll do an architecture review of PowerShell just so we're on the same page so we can level set. When we leave here today, what I want us to be able to do is take full advantage of .NET. The API, Windows APIs, any calls that any C, C++ programmer can make, we can make them with PowerShell, and we'll see how to do that today. That will enable us to create user interfaces that, I don't know about you guys, when I see a PowerShell script with 13 parameters on it, I just have to get out a cheat sheet, and you know that might be easier to collect them inside a UI, and we'll show you how to do that, all right? And then the other thing that bothers me about PowerShell, and I'll go into it, is like progress bars and anything else that takes a long time. You can't really cancel it without canceling the whole script. So we have a situation where the vendor that I work for, there's a situation where their product creates VHDs. And I found myself accidentally trying to create a 100 gig VHD when I meant to create a 10 gig one. What I really wanted to do is cancel the creation of the VHD, not the whole script where I'd put in the parameters and all the other stuff like that. So we're going to take a look at that all when we put it all together. So a little bit about me. I'm, as you can tell from the white hair, been doing this for quite a while. Some of you maybe remember me, that isn't showing up very well, but it was the Citrix logon process chart. Brian and Madden and I did that together. Anyone remember the chart? Yeah? Did you guys know I was the other half of that? Yeah, you're not the only ones who didn't know. I actually ran into, on a customer site, we were making a call, and I said, oh good, a friendly, I saw my chart on the wall. So I said, this can be an easy sale. You know, the hardest thing you have to do when you're selling technology is get respect, right? So there's my chart on the wall. And I said, oh yeah, that's my chart right there. And he said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, that's me. He said, no, I was there at that session. That's Brian Madden's chart. I said, I was standing right next to him and gave the chart. So Brian did all the licensing. I did all the logon process. And Brian did all of the connection server stuff. And I did all the stuff that happens inside of Windows. He said, yeah, I would have remembered that, buddy. So I figured out in certain use cases, if I do everything right, I can become invisible. So, but if you ever got that chart out, looked in the bottom, my name is on there. Anyway, so let's do this now. Let's, before we get back there, let's ask some questions about yourselves, okay? Many are doing PowerShell programming today, written scripts and the like. Is that your main job function? Anybody? Never is. It's just things to get. Do you look at other scripts and use them? Some of the stuff we're going to tell you today is how to take advantage of other people's code. What's great about PowerShell that's different from C++ or some other languages is typically a PowerShell script. If someone's showing you a utility, they give it to you as the script itself, so you can step through it line by line. You get a C++ or a C application that downloads as an executable, and you're using this script and executable at your own risk, right? So that's one of the nicest things about the whole GitHub that they have full of PowerShell scripts. How many are using the PowerShell UI, the ISE? Love it, yeah? Just absolutely love that thing? How do you, who said no? No one said no. All right, I'll say no. I hate it. All right. So I've been a developer in, I was a C and C sharp developer for years. And debugging in that PowerShell is just a nightmare. So has anybody explored any alternatives to that? I'm going to show you one today, too, that's free. Everything I'm showing you today, you can download for free and start using. And the nice part about it, it's got Microsoft's name on it. So these are Microsoft tools we'll be using today. Yeah, so I actually remember using that product. So, all right, so we had a comment, it's better than debug.com from the command prompt days. So, all right, so let's do that. Let's go over my environment. Let me show you what I'm using. So Visual Studio Code, you familiar with that? It's okay to say no, because then this makes this presentation relevant. If everybody already knew that, then this wouldn't really be taking you to a new level. It's a free tool from Microsoft that you actually can debug PowerShell scripts in it with a PowerShell extension. The other thing is Visual Studio itself has Community Edition. I first started out with 2013, and that's when I first started writing UIs in PowerShell. And we're going to go over the difference between the Community Edition that came out in 2013 and the latest edition that they have. We'll actually have to manipulate some XML code to get it to work, but I'm going to show you how to do that. So we'll create our own UIs, and we'll do it inside Visual Studio. And then I'm a Windows 10 guy, but I haven't been for 10 years. So I was a Mac guy for the longest time, and the reason I was a Mac guy was because our software that the company I work for is Windows, and at the time, Macs could get 4 VMs inside of VMware Fusion up and running very easily, and my best Dell option at the time was a workstation in order to do that same thing, and I needed a laptop. So the only reason I tell you all that is because if I get up here and fumble around, I've been a Windows 10 guy now for about 2 weeks. So if I can't figure out a command line or something like that, yeah, you'll know why. Okay. So let's take a look at this environment. I'm going to switch over into it, and I'll just start showing you this Visual Studio code, which is here. So you saw that link. I down. All right. Duplicate. So, you know, you get up here and you think, oh, Helge reached out to me and said, okay, Kevin, you know some stuff about that. Get up here and tell us all about it. If I had purported myself as an expert, I would have looked pretty stupid right there going, I don't understand why my screen's not showing. But I admitted this is 2 weeks on Windows 10. So, all right. Go away. There you go. All right, so here's the environment of Visual Studio Code. I downloaded it, installed in 2 clicks. You bring it up. You can open up right here. If I click on this button right here, the Files button, it shows me all of the files that I've been working with inside, all the PowerShell files. If I come down to here, it's got a debugger. And what I like about this debugger is maybe 2 or 3 things better than the ISC. One, I can set breakpoints in the middle of the session or turn them off very easily. I've had many problems debugging into the second or the third script where I realized I needed a breakpoint and the ISC wouldn't let me hit it right there. And I've had problems turning them off for the same reasons. This one, you just stick your mouse into the gutter, they call it here. And voila, you've got a breakpoint. You want to come around and turn it off, it's just that easy. I have a, it doesn't matter right now which script I do. I actually can move over here and go to something less. Let's do something easier here so you can see it. Then I come over here, See the little bug with the universal not sign on them to debug. Hit the green arrow. And two things you'll notice. Up on the top, I have a very easy F10, F11 menu for diving into and for... That wasn't Windows 10. My screen's still showing. All right. And so that'll stop that there. What's neat is if you come over here, you have watch variables. So instead of going into the PowerShell command line and saying $ my variable hitting enter, I can put this up here and I can keep these in here throughout the session. And so I can look at those variables as they go, and you can add those watch variables and go on. And as you move on through the script, you can hit F10, or you can reach in here, or whichever. The other thing is, do you ever notice in the ISC when you're debugging, maybe you stop debugging, it didn't really clean up after itself, and you, what's the best answer? I'm getting head nods here. What do you do in that set case? Yeah, you turn, you close ISC and start another one. Yeah, so that's fixed in Visual Studio Code. If for no other reason, that's why I downloaded and using this tool for the debugging of it. I will tell you, there is some stuff it doesn't do. The debug console down there is not really PowerShell, so I can't do PowerShell things down there. But if I want to step through and I want to watch variables and stuff like that, this here is your tool. All right, let's go back here and start back up. Okay, any questions about that? Again, what I'll do, and I have them here somewhere, is a bunch of thumb drives. And I didn't actually think to put this presentation on there, but now that I think about it, the presentation needs to be on there because it has the links in there. But what I'll do is see me before the day ends, and I'll start copying them onto these thumb drives. And it'll have all the scripts as well as the presentation, so you can go through it and download this code for yourself. Questions? Not. Let me tell you about the PowerShell architecture. This is the .NET architecture that it's built on top of. This is that same architecture that C# and Visual Basic .NET is built on top of. And the J# as well, as you can see in there. But basically, and C++ily and C#ily, I guess, if those are words, what happens is they all compile into an intermediate runtime. And that intermediate runtime is then executed. So I got this little architecture piece right here off of the internet. But you could draw a line right next to J# that said PowerShell, and it fits in exactly the same way. It's built on top of this .NET architecture. So what does that mean? That means that anything C# can call in .NET, PowerShell can call. So anything that, or, and we'll also show you how you can call any Win32 API too. Win32 API, for those who don't spend their life programming, is the set of basic calls that comes with a standard copy of Windows. And you can find those calls inside three DLLs, kernel32.dll, user32.dll, and gdi32.dll. Don't ask me why on 64-bit systems they're still named user32, but those are the DLLs. Inside of them, they have functions, and those functions can also be called. So you got PowerNet at your disposal, .NET at your disposal, and Win32 API. And not to mention everybody, you know, your PowerShell commandlets, you can go out and there's a variety of ways of finding all of those. So let's let's dive into that. I'm going to give you two examples. If you've been using other people's code, you may have seen these in there. You may have been doing some of this. Let me tell you why all this is working. All right? So let's take a look. Let's first thing we're going to do is it's Windows P, and we'll get back to the... Okay. All right, well, let's do it this way. So let's go in here, and let's go back to Visual Studio Code, and let's go back up to this code snippet that I copied straight out of somebody else's code. There's a variety of ways to get this arcane language that we have here. Sorry. Duplicate. Okay. There are a variety of ways to get this arcane language up here, but basically what you should take a look at is where it says method definition and where we're creating this variable, what's going to take place is PowerShell's actually going to go out to .NET and we're going to compile that code as if it was C# code. Under the covers, doesn't have to concern us or anything like that. But that is what we would call a prototype of a function. In this case, it's the message box function. So message boxes are universal. They come up, they say OK. They say OK, cancel. Yes, no, retry. They all end up down here in Win32, a kernel 32 API, or it's user 32 API here, in which you can then call it. So I've got a breakpoint set. So that's prep information so I can start using the message box API that comes out of user32.dll. There is a website called pinvoke.net that has, for every Win32 API, has this prototype up there. And that's basically where I got this from. The community edition of Visual Studio in 2013, that version, actually had an add-in that you could get from pinvoke.net that would show up on the right side, and you just click on it, and it would give you these definitions. I haven't seen that add-in. The add-in doesn't work for me in the Visual Studio 2015, which we're showing here, but maybe eventually they'll come out with one. So long story short, ignore that. Use that line 17. You can use any Win32 API that you want. And you can come in here and you can say debug. And when you do, you get a little dialog box here. Yay, message box. Yay! All right. All right, now here's how you do this in. All right, so you want to see something awesome. I can set another breakpoint right here in Visual Studio Code without stopping, getting out of the ISC, or turn it off. But this is your equivalent in .NET. So .NET has a class name that begins with system. System dot... Am I like a traffic light when I step in front of that? Does that make that go off? Is that what's going on? I'll stand over here for a while. All right, so if you want to do it with .NET, there are these classes. And if you go up to MSDN, so these are all documented under MSDN. If you go up to MSDN, and what you're going to see on line 20 there, this is a technique that you need to do to load this portion of the .NET library. And there are different portions of the .NET library that you may not need. In this case, the message box is in the forms class. And so now we can do the same exact thing that we did with the other mesh box here in .NET. And I'm standing over here now, so it can't be me. All right, ta-da, yay. All right, so surely I didn't fly all the way over here from Atlanta, Georgia, just to show you how to make message boxes. Let's now that we got the concepts down, now that we've level set, let's move on. Okay, so there's our two message box demos. So let's move on to creating more complex user interfaces than, say, perhaps message boxes. There are two techniques available to you here. These techniques, VB.net and C# programmers, this is what they live and breathe in when they create UIs. There's either that WinForms class that you just saw we loaded and used the message box API out of that. There's also the Windows Presentation Foundation. And they're slightly different, and they're used in slightly different instances. And let me go over those for you. So the WinForms are built on top of the existing kernel 32, user 32, GDI 32. So it's all the controls that you can get out of a regular Windows standard user interface. So that's buttons, combo boxes, radio buttons, sliders, things like that. All of those types of guys, text forms. That's in WinForms. The WPF it's actually an XML-based XAML, application markup language based, in which you program lines of code of what you want your dialog box to look like. And it is easier if I show it to you here in a second, but what I want to do is go over when you would use each. The Windows Presentation Foundation, the WPF stuff, you get a WYSIWYG. Visual Studio Code lets you draw your dialog box out right there in front of you and creates a XAML while we're looking at it. You take that XAML, stream it into PowerPoint, and PowerShell, and then voila, you have a UI. So the difference between the two, the WPF you want to tackle for more complex type UIs that you may want to use. The WinForms are for these one-shot dialog boxes like I did with MessageBox. But also, WPF doesn't support every control out there. So we're going to give an example of one when I do this demonstration. But if they don't support your control, you can code it up by hand in a WinForm. So let's take a look and see what that all looks like. So for this, I'm going to use a different tool here. This was the other one. This is Visual Studio 2016 Community Edition. And I'm in the middle of it right here, but I will go back to the start and show you that you can create an application, whether it's a Visual Basic or a C# application, it doesn't matter. You just ask for a project that's WPF. When you do, it brings you up into this dialog box right here. And as you can see, I'm probably surprised I haven't won an award for UI design yet, based on my examples right here. But I just created two buttons real quick, okay? So let's create two buttons over here, and let's watch down in the bottom here on how easy this is as you create a button. I can resize it, and when I do, you'll see it automatically will update over here. The height and the size and the width and everything like that. So down the left side, I have all the controls that I might want to use. Checkboxes, combo boxes, frames, splitters, group box, labels, list box, all the stuff. Drag them over, depending on what you need for your UI, it'll create this XAML down in the bottom. When it creates a XAML down at the bottom, you're done with Visual Studio Community Edition. You'll take that and we'll input it into our PowerShell program. Let's take a look at how we do that. So And I'll have this in my samples. There's a couple of points I want to make out here. I haven't updated my code yet. My screen's not going off, by the way. I haven't updated my code yet, but in this XAML right here, it has a couple of extra lines, that blend line and the markup compatibility line that are in there that I don't know what they mean, but B, they mess up the code that I've written to make PowerShell show a UI. So when we get in there, you'll see in my examples that you get, I cut that stuff out. Visual Studio 2013 didn't put that in there. So when I originally made this, I made it based on what I got out of Visual Studio 2013. Now, the community edition of Visual Studio 2016 does not know about PowerShell. So all we're using it for is to create that XAML. I downloaded it just to create that. If you knew what you're doing, could you create it by hand? Yeah, you'll see us go in there and muck with it here in a second. So let's go here, and let's see if we can find a... So it created a file called mainwindow.xaml. So let's step through, and I'll show you the code that we have here. Let's set a breakpoint and go. And we'll use the step into function. And we'll look at this code. Basically, one of the things, if you remember, the reason I showed you the architecture is you start out with the source code, and it compiles into this intermediate code. Well, you can read that in C#. You can take that code and look and see what it's doing. And more or less, it was doing it in a language I didn't quite understand. It wasn't C#, but it wasn't anything else I'm used to. These are the things it was doing, so I just stole them for PowerShell. As a matter of fact, I originally, when I had this, it was probably 100 lines of code, and then I presented something like this at Bri Forum a while back, and one of the guys said, yeah, I could probably do that in 6 lines of code. So I have to be honest, this is actually his code cleaned up, but it's the same idea. So you come in here, and you read that... Just come in here and read. I don't know why it's doing that. It doesn't like me to move. And what we're doing is we're going in here one at a time, reading all those variables that you saw in there, buttons and the like, and we're making them global variables. So then when you come out of the program, those global variables available to you in PowerShell. I have this off in a separate script because, quite frankly, I don't even look at this anymore. You just take the XAML, pass it in, and get a dialog box. So once you've loaded that, remember we had 2 buttons in there. We had a button 1 and a regular button. And so what I've added here is some code that when I did this originally in Visual Basic, I noticed it added an add click routine. So here's your add, and let's say you had a drop-down box or a combo box. You could go into Visual Studio 2015, see what Visual Basic called it, then you steal it and you use it for PowerShell. So I come down here and I'm setting up, when you click on that button, there's some PowerShell code that's going to run. And here's what's going to happen when you click the other button. And then this is a line of code. You just remember, show dialog is how we show dialogs inside of XAML. So there we go. So let's go back to Visual Studio Code. Do I have a breakpoint set for that? Let's set it. See if it'll set. So I said on button click, I'm going to do the close function of the dialog box. And away it goes. And so it's gone. Does it make sense? And then I hit the button twice so it started up again. Does that make sense? Go into Visual Studio 2016, create a UI, go into Visual Basic if you need to find out what the handlers are, put into your PowerShell code, put PowerShell in there, and off you go. Okay, let's do a WinForms one now. And remember I said the reason we were going to do a WinForms is maybe there's a control I can't do in WPF. And actually, if it supported all the controls, I think I'd only use that. It's too easy. The problem with WinForms is you saw it when I did message box. We build that baby up one step at a time. So let's take a look at one of those. And one of the things I noticed when I was over here is the controls in WPF are not as, it's only a subset of what you can get in the WinForms controls. So let me go in there and explain some more of that. All right, so that was the WPF, WinForms. What I want to talk to now is one of the things that PowerShell ISC bothers me is, do y'all use progress controls? Do you all use progress controls? Sorry, I slipped into Southern US mode there, which is where I'm from. Progress controls are ones where you want to show an activity is taking place over time. PowerShell has one called write progress. And one of the problems I have is, what if I don't know how long it's going to take? Like, if I'm going to count from 1 to 100, then I can make a nice progress control that does 100 little ticks. What if it's just an amount of time? If it's an amount of time, then I have no idea how long it's going to take, right? So we call those, I've heard it called three things. Infinite progress bar, it's that spinning dial that you get on certain Microsoft or iOS apps. I've also called it indefinite. So one of the best ways to do that is to be put up a GIF, right? Spinning GIF. Yeah, the WPF doesn't support that picture box control. So let's build one in WinForms. This right here is the code that you would use inside PowerShell. And if you go inside PowerShell, and I think I actually have a copy of that up and running. Something progress, where is it? One of the things, remember I said Visual Studio Code, while great for debugging, it's not PowerShell. So you can't run certain PowerShell commands like this progress bar. If you've not seen it before, it's not all that exciting. It comes up here, and down on the bottom it says processing, and you can put that into your code. And if you look at what we've written right here, we're trying to get it infinite. So we'll sit there and do it for a while, and then we'll make it jump to 100% at the end. That's one way to try to do a progress bar when you don't know what the progress is taking place, right? But what's the problem with this? I can't cancel it. Well, I can, but I cancel a whole script. What good is that? You know, I'm just waiting on something and maybe I got tired of waiting. I want to try later. Or maybe the network was down, or maybe I was creating a VHD 100 gig in size rather than the 10 gig that I initially intended to, and I blew out my PVS write cache. In that right there, there's got to be a better way. But there's no Windows Presentation Foundation way. So let's take a look at a better way to do that. We'll come over here, and I've got what I call a picture box. And I've got a copy of it here for you. Where is it? So take a look at this. I'll go through each line. We're creating a, all right, so here's my GIF that spins. We're creating line by line the size of the dialog box, the width, the height, the border style, whether it has a minimize or a maximize on it, what the text will be in the title. And then I actually have some text that I want to show on the screen, so I got to create a text control. Then I have a button I want to put in there because I want to put a cancel in it, right? And I am so glad that Robert Kadish is letting me know about his brother's payment. So remember when I said I was in this a long time? Apparently I didn't know to turn off my email before I started a presentation. I am so proud of myself for admitting I know jack shit about. So anyway, so let's wander through all of these and show that eventually you call form activate and show dialog. And let's just run this one. I've only got about 10 minutes left and of time for the presentation, but probably. Yeah, so let's debug this one. So is my
starting the debugger maybe does something.
Yeah, maybe.
That's okay.
See?
Same with this.
Oh, is that a yoga or a surface? So this is an attempt at making an infinite or indefinite progress. So you just know to wait there. But what I've added on here is a cancel button so you can give up when you want to. Okay? Make sense? All right. Quick, the other thing that you want to do, right, is if you want to have a cancel box that cancels, then your stuff can't be running on the same thread, can it? Because if it's running on the same thread, you won't be able to put the cancel box up because you'll be waiting on your stuff. And that's where multiple threads with PowerShell comes in. All right, there's two ways to do this. First one is timers. You can set a PowerShell timer in which it will notify you on a certain period of time. Every 10 seconds, it's going to say, I'm going to write this block of code that you gave me. I'm going to write this block of code that you gave me. No other feedback, though. And then you cancel it as it runs. The second one are job objects. Job objects, you can actually give them a name, which means you can have more than one job object, and they can each have individual names. And then there are PowerShell commands that you can run to enumerate them, find out which jobs are which. So you can run some code in a separate job, pull up this dialog box for cancel. If it's running too long, cancel it. We'll go in the way you get rid of a job, just say kill job. Okay? So you can kill the job. And tidbit for anybody who's interested in Windows Server 2016. You've heard of the containers that they're doing there. All they really are, as the smart guys at Microsoft like to say, enlightened jobs. So to create a container, back in the early beta, you actually called create job. And the only difference between the jobs that we have here on Windows 10 and those jobs is you'll get your own CSRSS and your own SMSS, those little XEs that run in everybody's process. Because you get a new one of those, that's why the containers in 2016, if you've heard about them, have their own IP address. It's like they just booted, this job just booted, and then it has its own access to the file system. Nothing to do with PowerShell, but you're going to see more about job objects, so might as well learn about them here. Yeah? All right. So timers, when you just want something to run at a specific time. Jobs, when you want to run long-running processes or you want to run executables, certain executables. One of the things that I also didn't like about debugging is you'd notice, especially if you were using UI, you'd notice that those guys would not disappear and you'd have to shut the ISC down. Job objects, when you kill them, kill all the processes that were created within that job. That's how the compilers work. When you see the compilers, they hit compile, it starts running executables. You can say cancel, it kills them all. That's because they were all within a job. All right, so let's pull this all together. I got 5 minutes left. Let me show you what we have in here. This is code that we use to create a, dang it. All right, so this is code that we're going to use here to create, in this case, a VHD. And we'll come over here and let's look and see how we create it in a job. So line 33 just tells us how to create the job, and we can pass an argument list into it. When he gets that argument list, it's going to look like an array called $args. That'll be your script block, all right? And in 33 starts the job, script block where the braces are, that's the code that'll run in a separate thread. So that's your job code. All right. In this particular case, if this doesn't make sense, we're calling an executable. We're just shelling out to an executable and waiting for it to return. Perfect use for a job in case it's going too far. Perfect use. Now you see us calling the picture box down on line 47. Picture box on line 47 is now that that's running a separate code, voila, we can come back here and run more code. So we'll run the cancel dialog. And what we'll do is we'll pass them the job name. So if you want to cancel, what we'll do is, in the way you kill a job, is you call kill job, I think is what it's called, right? So you'll kill the job, you'll give them that job name. So it'll run as long as you want to until you don't want it to run anymore. When you press cancel, we'll just have it kill the job. Now, one thing I have to show you in here, and you'll notice this isn't VCR picture box, it's actually a different version of it. The form, something's got to change, and it is on line 70. If you go look at the other, when you get the code, if you compare the two, the VCNRW said show dialog. Show dialog is something that is modal. It comes up and runs until you cancel it, or non-modal. One of them's modal, one of them's non-modal. But basically, what happens here is if I just say show on line 70, it shows the dialog box and returns immediately. Now, dialog boxes work on events, like clicking the button and things like that. So it won't update until you call do events on line 73. So you call do events on line 73, and it'll do all your events for you. And we'll just call that in a loop right there. And if the job completes, take a look at line 75. I'm looking at all the jobs that I passed in this job name, in which you can see the state is equal to running. When that count goes to zero, hey, my job's not running anymore. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove the job from the queue, close the form, and what's going to happen is my cancel dialog box is going to come up and run and run and run and go away on its own. So you can sit there. If you want it to wait, it'll go away. It's on its own. If you get annoyed at that, then what you're going to have to do is you have to cancel it. And if you cancel it, let's run the cancel code up here. Oh, it's stop job, not kill job. Right? If you run cancel, we'll pass him the job name, and we'll stop that job. So if he's out there doing all that stuff, and he's running executables and stuff like that, we'll stop him, then we'll close the form. So you have two ways here to show activity in a separate thread. I think I've showed how to create two types of interfaces, WinForms and WPF. Two types of, I don't know how much time I have left, maybe 1 minute. There's code in there that shows you how to do the timers as well. It's not as sexy, so we'll skip it. But basically with that and code, come get me and get a USB drive from me that has the code on it, and you'll be able to create your own. With the minute I have left, is there any questions? Anybody? Oh, he wants to see me run it. I don't believe you for a minute, says he. All right, good thing too. So here's the thing about Visual Studio Code. Is it times out if you don't put your command line parameters in there fast enough. So let's pre-put them in there before we debug. So let's give it a name of a VHD to create. Let's say how big we want it. Do we want it to be dynamic or no? Do we want to do verbose output? Yes. So let's run that. Prompt canceled due to time. I told you. That's the part I hate about this. Let's do it over here if I have time. Let's do it here. Do we run out of time? All right. Well, the next guy's coming in. You can come up to the screen and look over my shoulder. I'll show you how it runs. Anyway, thank you very much for attending. And if you want to catch me with any questions afterwards. That was very fast. And so here's the output. So I said exporting the function, exporting, getting all the stuff in here, error creating it exists. Oh, so I just created that one in the previous test. It existed. So it came up, the job completed, and the dialog box went away. So what I could do is remove that, and we can do it over again there. Questions? Anybody? I don't want to keep the room longer than we're supposed to. Thank you very much.